Blog Talk Radio.
To the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Today's topic is going to be Lakers versus Cavaliers. Lakers versus Cavaliers. The host will debate professional armchair quarterbacks in front of a live global listening audience regarding the sport they love. The topics covered will be, but not limited to, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, and Donovan Mitchell. The host will cover scores and breaking news from NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, and NCAA sports. Stokers and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST. It is 51 degrees and sunny in San Diego, California. Time on deck is 8:05 a.m. in San Diego, California, Pacific Standard Time. And We want to welcome everybody that's just tuning into the show once again. This is the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. We talk a lot about the NFL on this show because this is a football talk show. But we do cover NBA, Major League Baseball, NCAA, NHL, XFL, USFL news. But again, our topic today, for those of you just tuning in, is Lakers versus Cavaliers. The host of debate, professional armchair quarterbacks in front of a live global listening audience regarding the sport that they love. Last night, the Lakers fell to the Cleveland Cavaliers. I said yesterday morning that I didn't think that the Lakers would pull this game off. I didn't think that the Lakers would pull this game off. And I don't believe that they did. Of course they didn't, because they lost last night 116 to, I think, 106 or 116 to 102. I can't remember exactly off the top of my head. But they didn't pull it off last night. However, we can argue the fact that AD, Anthony Davis, he was sick last night with the flu. He did try to give it a go for about 8 minutes. The experts on the monitor are saying that the big experts on the monitor are saying that Anthony Davis, speaking of, saying that he played 14, what did he play, 8 minutes? But I think Jared Allen still, you know, while he's playing against AD, still wind up having in the time frame that he was in there, has still had about 14 points in 10 minutes. Jared Allen had about 14 points within 10 minutes and for a good period of that, AD was in there. But if AD was sick, you know, you still have to argue the fact, well, the guy had the flu. He had the flu. He was trying to give it a go. He was trying to do what he could for his team, you know, and you got to give him some credit because a lot of the media experts on TV have been saying that Anthony Davis is brittle, Anthony Davis is fragile, Anthony Davis is, you know, he's not dependable. He's not in shape. He's not working on his game. All of these different things. But for whatever reason, this year, and it's still fairly early in the year, fairly early in the season, I think we just like about a quarter of the way, 25% of the games have been played. You know, we're nearing, you know, another about halfway point. The All-Star break will be coming. So I say for these first 20, 25 games, however many games the NBA has played, I think that Anthony Davis has looked pretty good. They said the media experts were saying yesterday that he's put up about 90 points previous to yesterday, put up 90 points in the last two games. It sounds about like 45 points a game. So he's been pretty much dominant. It's almost like he's ready to take that torch and ready to fulfill the vision, ready to fulfill that vision. He's going to take the torch and ready to fulfill the vision that the Lakers had when LeBron James asked for them to bring him there. When LeBron James lobbied for him to go ahead on and come to the organization, they went and got him. And they did win a championship. They did. People don't remember that Anthony Davis did help deliver a championship in the bubble. It doesn't matter about it being in the bubble. They won a championship in the bubble. So with that being said, after the bubble, the last two seasons, he hasn't looked like they wanted him to, wasn't in shape, injuries, whatever. But for whatever reason, this year, I think it's only been, I think he only had one bad year. They won the bubble year. They won the bubble year. Then the last year, I think he was kind of like riddled with injury and not in shape. You know, could have been like a Super Bowl hangover. He could have had like a NBA championship hangover last year. But this year, Anthony Davis has came out to play. This year, AD has came out to ball. Like I said, in the last two games previous to last night, he had put up about 90 points. He had put about 90 points up. And so when it's all said and done, you know, it's a great you know, he's putting on a great performance is what I'm trying to say. Last night, he was just a little sick. He was just a little sick last night. But I got to take a quick station break here, everybody, and check on some technical stuff. Give me 1 second. Let me get back. I want to make sure I'm giving you the best delivery I can. Give me about 3 or 4 minutes. We're going to take a quick station break, and we'll be back to get back on our topic, Lakers versus Cavaliers. The host will be debating professional armchair quarterbacks in front of a live global listening audience regarding the sport they love. The topics covered will be, but not limited to, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, and Donovan Mitchell. The host will cover scores and breaking news from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, and NCAA sports. Real quick before I go, funny thing is, yesterday he was on the media, on the major social media platforms, that Aaron Judge from the New York Yankees had got traded to the San Francisco Giants. And I was, like, very nervous because I'm a Padres fan, and that's our division. I'm not here in San Diego, California. And I was very nervous about that, but later news last night was that there was a mistake that was put out by somebody in the Yankees organization. They put out they made a mistake on a post on some of the major social media platforms. So the one that I was looking at, I was like, uh-oh, we're in trouble if we got to be dealing with Judge all season, and if he signed with the San Francisco 49ers. But right before I said we was going to be taking the station break, I seen on the monitor that they just signed, I believe, a 9-year deal. They just agreed to a 9-year deal. The Yankees and Aaron Judge has agreed to a 9-year deal worth a lot of money, look like. But I'll get the details on that throughout the show so I can give you the proper information on that. But that was a bullet dodge for San Diego Padres. That was a bullet dodge. We do have the Major League Baseball winter meetings going on here in San Diego as well. So very interesting time. Very interesting time here in San Diego. But we'll be back. Again, this is Ramiro Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokes and Beer Radio Show. We're going to take a quick station break, and we'll be right back. Let me check on some technical stuff, and we'll be right back. Yeah. right, welcome back to the Talking to Me Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Stogies and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. The time on deck is 8:16 a.m. It is 51 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny in San Diego, California. Our show topic for today is Lakers versus the Cavs. Yeah, again, last night, yesterday I had mentioned that I didn't see the Lakers defeating the Cleveland Cavaliers. I just didn't see it. I'm gonna be honest. I didn't see it. I didn't see how they was gonna be able to pull that off. So I had told everybody yesterday that was listening. I said that the Cleveland Cavaliers, they're a good team. They're a good team. I mean, this is kind of interesting for Cleveland because they could actually win a championship. Or definitely make a deep playoff run, but I mean the way they look, the way they play, I think that they could make a run for Eastern Conference appearance, Eastern Conference championship appearance. I'm gonna be honest. If you'd like to call into the show to debate me about that at 515-602-9687, feel free to do so. Call into the show at 515-602-9687. Put your hand up once I see you in queue. I can come to you when you come on to the show. Just announce your first and last initial, and then the state you're calling from. Don't worry about your whole first and last name, or your whole first name, or the city you're calling from. Just your first and last initial, and then the city, and then the state that you're calling from. So again, you call in 515-602-9687 to debate me on the topic of the Lakers versus the Cavaliers last night. But like I said yesterday, I didn't see the Cavaliers pulling it off. The Cavaliers got such a good team. Donovan Mitchell and, Donovan Mitchell, Mobley, Jared Allen, LeVert, they got a squad. They got a squad over there. So all I'm saying is that they could easily be playing against the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference championship. They could easily make a run for that or get close to it deep in the playoffs. The Lakers, they fought hard without Anthony Davis. They fought hard. I mean, if you look at it, 116, I think it was 116 to 102, something like that. So, I mean, they were missing about 14 points. They needed about 14 points. And Anthony Davis been putting up 45 points a game. So, easily against that team. You know, that team does have a lot of length. They're the long-rangey team. When you're dealing with a long-rangey team, like, it's almost like Anthony Davis could have been challenged. He could have been challenged defensively. But I'll put it like this. I feel like he could have at least still got 30 points. It's just, they could have won the game by maybe 8 to 10 points the way AD is playing. But AD wasn't in there. AD was only there for a short period of time, and the others, along with LeBron James, the greatest player in basketball today, they can do anything he wants to, whenever he wants to. They just couldn't come out with a win. The media expert said last night, if I'm remembering right, that LeBron James ran out of gas. He ran out of gas. And it's possible. I mean, the man's, I believe he's, 37? I mean, that ain't old, but it's old in basketball terms, especially when you're talking about you're talking about a man that's been in the playoffs for a year. I don't think it's been a year, but maybe one, that he wasn't in the playoffs, and that was the first year with the Lakers when he messed his groin up. I think he pulled his groin. They didn't get to the playoffs. They went to the playoffs. He wasn't in it, but I don't even think they made the playoffs that year, and I believe that was the first year. So you got to kind of figure. You guys got to kind of figure that it's wearing and tearing on that body. That 37-year-old body is probably playing more like a 47-year-old body, right about now. But he's still getting it done. LeBron James, he don't have to be great the whole game. He just has to be great in spots. I kind of like stole that statement from my man JB in Detroit, Michigan. My man JB in Michigan. He said that before on the show. People, you don't have to be great the whole game. You just have to be great in certain spots. And so LeBron James can be great in certain spots still today, but the man needs help. You know, that's why he brought AD there. That's why he brought Russell Westbrook there. However, they're using Russell Westbrook right now, I think it's working. I haven't been hearing his name too much in the news. And I think he had a pretty solid game last night, 16 points. He had 16 points, X amount of rebounds, X amount of assists. So I believe he played a pretty good game last night. I don't really hear them on the monitor. There's more than all the experts on the monitor and stuff like that. I'm not hearing, oh, Russell Westbrook took a bad shot and blew the game. It's more so LeBron James, more so about LeBron James not being able to, you know, bring the team home for the win. Wasn't able to bring them into the home stretch. But, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. You know, the Lakers, again, they fell to the Cleveland Cavaliers last night. If you'd like to call in and debate the host, call in at 515-602-9687. Yeah, you know, another news on the monitor. SWAT, you know, going to segue over to the NFL for a minute before we get back to our topic. The NFL and NFL news. Looks like Jerry Jones is having Jerry Jones and or Stephen Jones, probably more like Stephen Jones, is having second thoughts on signing OBJ. Imagine that. They're saying that we don't know if we want to cut the check for OBJ. And the reason probably is two things. He probably went in there. OBJ probably went up in there trying to demand X amount of dollars for his services, and they're like, no, you're coming in at the end of the season, number one, so we may just want to sign you to a partial deal for the rest of the season, or maybe a one-year deal, you know, the rest of this year, maybe a full one-year deal, just kind of like see where you are. And maybe they maybe try to give him like an incentive type of deal. If you do this or that, score this many touchdowns, blah, 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 you know, you'll get paid this. He probably didn't want an incentive deal. He probably wanted a guarantee. Where should Odell want to land? That's what's on the monitor. Odell Beckham Jr. has visited with the Bills, the Cowboys, the Giants in recent days. Odell Beckham Jr. has visited with the Bills, Cowboys, and Giants in recent days. Where should Odell want to land? Odell Beckham should want to land with the Buffalo Bills if he can make that happen. Because him and Stephon Diggs, you know, they have a quarterback that's going to throw both of y'all the ball. So with Odell Beckham, so Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen throwing the ball, I think that that'll be a nice little combination. But it's going to come down to Odell Beckham. What kind of deal is he going to be willing to go ahead and sign for to get back on the field? It kind of bothers me when I look at professional sports. It bothers me when guys are trying to demand. They're trying to demand so much. It's always about this is what I want. I'm not going to play if I'm not getting this or that. Sometimes you're not in a position to demand what you're going to get. Sometimes you're not in a position to demand, hey, this is what I want to get paid, and if I don't get paid this, I'm not going to play. Or something like, well, I want to take an incentive deal. See, think about an incentive deal that protects the general manager. That incentive deal protects the general manager. Now, most high-level agents anywhere tell you, well, don't take an incentive deal because if you don't perform that for whatever reason, you're not going to get the money. And the agent, he wants to make sure he gets his money, so he'll say, no, let's work on a guarantee. Let's work on the guarantees. Let's work around what are the guarantees. So whatever the guarantees Odell Beckham may be asking for, he should try to work with the team just to go, in my opinion, so he can go ahead on and get back on the football field injured and stay injured all the time and think that you're still going to have the same value as everybody else or as people that can stay healthy and get through a season. You're not going to get the same kind of deal. So I'm not saying that Odell Beckham should want something. That's not what I'm saying. He got to get paid something for his services. He got to get paid amicably for his services. But all I'm saying is this. You can't be walking into an office like Jerry Jones at Jerry World demanding that you get this and that. And I think that at the same time, they may have done a physical, may have worked them out. They might have seen a little bit of tentativeness on that knee when he made certain cuts or did certain drills. They may have seen something. Yeah, I see the workout video that OBJ is putting out there. I see the workout video. I see the things that he's putting out there. But where I'm coming from is from a standpoint like this. Where I'm coming from is from a standpoint like this. It's a highlight video. So when you put out a highlight video, you're putting up things that you do well. You're putting up when you looking good. You're putting up when you're capable of doing something. You're not going to put up stuff that morning when it was real cold outside, them bones are stiffened up, your knees can get warmed up real good, and that injury is tight, and you're trying to do these drills, and then you got to kind of like take a little break and keep trying to stretch that knee out to get through the workout. You know, you're not putting that stuff out there. But when they bring you to do an in-facility workout, and I know all about in-facility workouts, know all about it, because I go to something called Hub Camp, and I see all the drills that they have you doing to prepare you at Hub Camp for to go and do an in-facility workout. Yeah, at Hub Camp, they usually run it out here in San Diego. They run you through all the drills and everything per position that an NFL franchise will want to see you run when you come in for an in-facility workout. So when it comes down to it, maybe when he went through those drills at Jerry World with the Dallas Cowboys, the trainers might have looked at it and said, "I don't know." The trainers, the scouts, and the GM Stephen Jones might have looked at it like, "I don't know. He don't look like what he used to look like to us. It looked like he has some tentativeness. He's tentative on that knee." We'll never know because we weren't in the room. This is just me. Prip speculation, and this is not me dogging OBJ. I like OBJ. If I'm correct, he's an LSU alum, and I like all things Louisiana sports. So, I mean, all I'm saying is that they're trying to figure out why all of a sudden now Jerry Jones is being tentative on cutting the check. Excuse me. Had to get a little water there. All of a sudden now Jerry Jones is being tentative on cutting the check for OBJ, but the last 10 days or so, that's all you've been hearing. OBJ in Dallas. Jerry wants him. But now all of a sudden, Jerry Jones, the owner, Stephen Jones, the general manager, who mainly Stephen Jones, if I'm correct, runs that team. Jerry Jones is the owner. He is the voice of the team. It's his team. But Stephen Jones pretty much steers that ship. And Stephen Jones, he, from what I'm understanding, you know, based on some things that I've seen Jerry Jones say in his Hall of Fame speech when they inducted him as an owner into the Hall of Fame, which he very well deserves that recognition. Jerry Jones was mentioning that Stephen Jones has to sometimes pull him back and say, like you're talking to a kid, like you know how when a kid is sticking his hand in a candy jar, or sticking his hand in something he ain't got no business. You got to, he like 3 or 4 years old, and you got to be like, tap him on the hand a little bit, stop that. I think that's the way Stephen Jones has to handle Jerry Jones sometimes when Jerry Jones get ready to write that check. He's like, no, we're not paying for that guy. We're not paying that much for that guy. Those are the type of things that I think goes on in that war room with Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones. Stephen Jones probably told Jerry, we're not paying nothing for him. We're not paying that for him. Matter of fact, we're not even signing him because I don't like the way he's running. Sometimes these workouts can expose you, people. I've been to a pro workout. It was ran by Don Yee, Tom Brady's agent, super agent Don Yee. I've been to a pro workout. So, you know, at Hub Camp, that's a pro workout, NFL-sanctioned event. NFL scouts have the permission to come out there. Oh, yeah, they do. They have the permission to be there. And you get all kind of guys from, you know, all walks of life, from all over the country, all over the world, that can get selected to come to Hub Camp. I've seen how a pro football workout is conducted. And if they had OBJ on that tender knee doing the stuff that I've seen them do out there at these workouts, and those workouts are hard per position. I'm going to be honest with you. He probably didn't look good. It's one thing to sit down and visit with a team, but when a team runs you, say, hey, man, you know, we were going to just do an interview. You got your cleats, you got your workout gear. You know, we want to run you through some tests. And, you know, it could have been a situation where you're like, nah, man, I really didn't come prepared to do all that. I was just kind of like, you know, I already sent y'all my videotape of me working out and everything. They probably said, yeah, we see all that, but we want to work you out. We need to work you out. And if he didn't come prepared, like, well, I didn't bring my cleats. I wasn't planning on working out or nothing like that. You know, it could have been like, well, we'll think about it. We'll get back to you. You know, we don't know yet. I mean, heck, it's late in the season. What we got, four games? What, we got four games left? It's week 14. We got about three, four games left. I think it's a 17-game season, so we got about four games left because it's week four, three games left. We only got 3 weeks. And this season is over. If you'd like to call into the show and debate me about our topic, which is Lakers versus Cavaliers, call in to 515-602-9687. Currently, we're talking about OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr. That's what we're currently talking about. Of Jerry Jones to go ahead and cut the check for OBJ. What's the hesitancy? Last 10 days, that's all you've been hearing. Odell Beckham, he's going to have a star on. He's going to have that coveted star. That star, the second most popular brand, second most popular world, that star is the second most popular and profitable sports brand in the nation, right behind the Yankees. You got the Yankees, and then you got the NY for the Yankees, and then you got the star. Those two logos. The Yankees is number one. Don't get it twisted. Star is number two. But number two is a damn good place to be in the world of sports. So Odell Beckham Jr. was supposed to put on the star. That's what everybody, you know, yesterday and today, I'm like, okay, anytime now, they're going to say Jerry Jones. They're going to say Jerry Jones has secured the services of one Odell Beckham Jr., OBJ. But it didn't happen. I want to know what happened in their room. I'm really, real curious. I wish I could get Jerry Jones to get on the line and just shed some light on it on the Stogies and Beer radio show. You know, I'm gonna ask my little brother. He live out there in Arlington, Texas, right there by the stadium, by Jerry World. He out there all the time doing something, UFC, boxing, football. He out there all the time. He live up in there. So I'm gonna ask my little brother to stop by there and knock on Jerry Jones' door and ask him to come on to the show and see if he'll shed some light on why he didn't sign OBJ. That's gonna be big for my show. Or I might contact the fan, you know, WW whatever the fan, which Jerry Jones always do his morning stand-up. So I'm gonna go on one of these shows. I'm gonna try to get in touch with Jerry some kind of way. What happened? Give me some insight so I can let my people know, let my global listeners know what happened in that room, why they didn't want to sign OBJ, because this is big. I mean, this OBJ thing was supposed to be squared away, in my opinion, yesterday. Now, all of a sudden, you know, Jerry Jones and one Stephen Jones is like, we're going to hold off. We're going to hold off. I really think it's kind of crazy that you're trying to sign somebody this late in the season anyway, saying that, well, maybe he'll be ready for a playoff push. You don't need some kind of disruptions and distractions in your organization this late in the season. You already had Dak Prescott was out. There was an issue, quarterback controversy with who was it? Rush, the quarterback Rush. And I'm just sitting back here looking at like the quarterback controversy with Prescott and Rush, Cooper Rush. There was already enough excitement. Okay, you guys got through that. There was about a 4-week hiatus. You got through it. That came back. You know, they put a whooping on Chicago. So solid performance against Chicago. Then I think another solid performance against Detroit. Then, you know, he just been on the roll since then. I think Dak only lost one since he's been back, but that was against the game Green Bay Packers in Green Bay. So that's definitely one that Dak could lose and probably should have lost because, I mean, at the end of the day, Dak Prescott ain't Aaron Rodgers. Dak Prescott, regardless of how bad the team is, Dak Prescott still ain't Aaron Rodgers. He's not. He's not that kind of cerebral dude. He's talented, but he's not the type of cerebral guy that Aaron Rodgers is. Sorry. It's you know, that's not what it is. Also across the wire right now do the Cowboys have a realistic chance to catch the Eagles in the NFC East? Do the Cowboys have a realistic chance to catch the Eagles in the NFC East? Yeah, anything can happen. Power rankings are Eagles number 1, 11-1, Cowboys number 2, 9-3. Do the Cowboys have a realistic chance to catch the Eagles in the NFC? Yeah, they got a realistic chance. I mean, anytime you got a Michael Parsons on your team running around like he runs around, being a disruptor on the edge and that linebacker, yeah, you got a chance. Don't get me wrong, you got a chance. If they feel like Michael Parsons put a big lick on Jalen Hurts and put him out, or keep hitting him over time and put him out or keep disrupting his performance. Yeah, the Cowboys can come out with a win. I think they got to play on Christmas Eve. Cowboys can come out with a win. I'm not going to say they can't. It's possible. But are they going to do it? Opinion, I doubt it. I just see that Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles, they dropped one to the Washington in division to the Washington Commanders. They dropped one to the Washington Commanders, but the thing about it is that's an in-division rivalry. That is an in-division rivalry. The NFC East, those teams hate each other. They're always going to play each other hard. And to Philly's credit, the Washington Commanders were on a four-game win streak, if I'm correct. And with that win against the Eagles, they put them on a five-game win streak, if I'm remembering that correct, about a month ago. So when you look at that, okay, yeah, Eagles, you know, they dropped one. But like Jalen Hurts said, we needed to drop one to get us right. Anyway, back to the monitor. Segwaying back over to our topic, Lakers losing to the Cavs. Are the Lakers a dangerous team in the West? That's what's coming across my monitor. Are the Lakers a dangerous team in the West? Lakers have won 8 of the last 11, currently 10-13, 13th in the Western Conference. Lakers have won 8 of the last 11 games, currently 10-13. Lakers have won 8 of the last 11 games. Currently, they're 10-13. They're 13th in the Western Conference. Are the Lakers a dangerous team in the West? Yeah, they are. They just got off to a slow start. I mean, a 10-13 record, they lost one last night. If they won last night, they would have been 11-12. They'd have been one game off of 500. But now they're two games off of 500. So, big deal. You know, they're two games off 500. They had a slow start. But look at the way Anthony Davis is playing. Anthony Davis is playing his butt off. Like I said, before last night, he had put up 90 points in two games, 90 points in two contests combined. So that's about 45 points a game, somewhere up in there. So I'm just like, this guy's playing basketball, man. He just was sick last night. Give him some credit. He showed up. He came to work. He had the flu. Told him to go sit down. I wouldn't have let him play anyway because I'm trying to figure out what the heck is the NBA doing. The NBA should fine the Lakers because Anthony Davis should have never been permitted to travel on the plane sick. If he was already sick, and once they found out he was sick, he should automatically have been sent to the hospital. Go to the hospital and quarantine. I'd have sent him straight to the hospital in Cleveland. Go there, quarantine. We'll get you a ticket, set flight arrangements in the next 5 days, and get you back. Go quarantine. Because what is he going to do now? Go back, get on the team plane sick, making everybody else sick? I mean, come on. I mean, what are we doing, people? They got all this RSV situation going on out there, making all these little kids sick and stuff like that. And then, you know, you still got COVID-19 out here looming, and this flu season as well, which they're saying he got the flu. You got to be smarter. got to be smarter. You know, got to protect people from themselves, protect AD from himself, and protect the team from AD. He can't be around the whole team. What if he gets LeBron James sick? Then both of them out. Russell Westbrook gets sick. All three of them out. Come on. Then now you got to depend on Austin Reeves and Dennis Schroeder and the others, Nunn and Walker. You got to depend on all the others to carry the team if the stars get sick. Got to be careful. Yeah, but anyway, like I said, last night was an exciting game. I was able to actually sit down and take in a lot of it. I was able to sit down and take in a lot of it. Also, last night we had Luka Doncic. He pulled it off last night against the Nuggets. Dallas defeated the Nuggets on their home court. I think they only won by about a point. I think it was like 116-115. Doncic brought them back, 116-115. You know, well, Doncic led them to a victory. I'll put it like that. I was kind of like watching that in and out. You know, sometimes I watch so much sports, I have to take a break. So I was kind of like just glancing at that game back and forth, trying to get some highlights in. But I do know that Luka Doncic did lead the Dallas Mavericks to victory over the Denver Nuggets on Denver's home court. So, but that was a good game as well. I was checking it out. I don't have the numbers on Jamal Murray. I know at the last, he did try to hit a late three-point shot. Looked like to me he might have got fouled, but you know they're not trying to send that game into overtime. It was a tight game. I don't think the referees want to send it into overtime on a attack. What I could probably look at is like a luck shot. You're just trying to throw up a shot and make contact. I probably wouldn't have called that foul either, because it's like if you got a clear shot that you was actually trying to put it in the bucket rather than just draw contact, I wouldn't have called it. I wouldn't have called it. You know, so it makes sense to me why the referee let that one go. But, however, based on the rule, I think Jamal Murray did get fouled last night. I do think he got fouled last night on that three-point attempt to try to go up 2 points in that game. If you'd like to call into the show and talk about the topic that we're talking about, Lakers versus Cavaliers, call in to area code 515-602-9687. 515-602-9687. And I'll just raise your hand in queue, and then I'll come to you. If I come to you, just announce your first initial, last initial, and the state that you're calling from. I like to keep everybody's identity discreet on the show, just in case you ain't supposed to be on air and be working or something like that. Your boss can't say, hey, I heard you on the Stogies and Beer radio show. And I know that was you because you said your name. You know, I know that was you because I know your voice, and you said the city that you were in. You know, so you got to kind of like be I try to keep everybody's identity on the show discreet and everything like that. In our second hour coming up, I'm going to talk about some stuff that's near and dear to my heart and my profession, which is sports management. I manage athletes, try to manage their career in the right direction, try to move a guy as far as I can, move him. All they got to do is take my hand and let me lead the way. I reach out, I reach my hands out. All they got to do is take my hands and let me lead the way. Shake my hand and let's do business. So I'm going to be talking a lot about the opportunities that I have to help move street free agents, meaning guys from I try to help guys that were NFL camp hopefuls last year for 2022. Guys that graduated, they were looking at getting the NFL free agent camp contract, and it didn't happen back in 2020 for 2022 after this year's past draft. I'm going to be helping them. I'm going to be talking about the second hour how I can help them, and plus how I can help guys that's just played their last game in college that are NFL camp hopefuls for 2023's draft coming up in spring. So I'm going to be helping guys from 2022 that's still sitting around looking for a job that didn't get to NFL camp last year, and guys that just graduated that are going to be NFL camp hopefuls for 2023 after the draft in 2023 for the NFL. I'm going to be helping those guys, getting them an early start, go ahead and jumpstart in their career. So by the time summer camp starts, we'll have a look. We have some pro film at some level, some tape on them at some level playing pro ball, and maybe they can work their way into an NFL camp, summer camp contract, or mini camp workout to try to earn a summer camp roster spot to get on a camp roster. So I'm going to be talking a lot about the next in the next hour some free agency stuff. I'll also be next hour trying to rattle off some scores, try to rattle off some scores for World Cup, rattle off some scores for NBA, NHL, NCAA men's and women's basketball. I'm going to try to rattle off some scores for that. We're coming up on NCAA college bowl season. This is always an exciting time for me. I like to, when I'm watching the monitor, liking to hear the jingle on the monitor letting me know that next game up, next bowl game up when I'm taking a look at the monitor. So I'm excited about that. I love football, sport that's near and dear to my heart, although boxing is my first love. Nothing trumps boxing, but right behind boxing, not too distant from it, is football. I love football too. Anyway, you got a lot of stuff going on in sports. Across the monitor, they're saying that Pac-12 championship game, number 11, Utah, defeated number 4, USC, 47-24. Pac-12 championship game, this was this past weekend. Number 11, Utah, defeated number 4, USC, for a 47-24 victory. Well, Utah just came out ready to play. And they had already beat USC, if I'm remembering right. They had already beat USC in the regular season. They'd already beat them. So, to me, it was no surprise that they beat them again. Utah has had some good teams. You got to remember, Alex Smith, former Kansas City Chief, Washington Redskin, San Francisco 49er, and also from here in San Diego, California, he went to Healy's High School, not too far from where I live at, or lived at one time. Yeah, he went to school with Reggie Bush. Alex Smith, Reggie Bush, Healy's High School. Reggie Bush went to USC. Alex Smith went to Utah. And I think Alex Smith might have been there when Urban Meyer was there, I think, because Urban Meyer did spend a stint in Utah. And I believe that he had Alex Smith as his quarterback. I could be incorrect, but you know what I always tell you. If you want to call into the show to debate me or correct me, you know the number. By now, 515-602-9687. 515-602-9687. Trying to take me a sip of coffee. But I'm not surprised that Utah defeated USC. I'm not surprised at all. However, I am upset that my LSU Tigers laid an egg in the SEC championship game against the Georgia Bulldogs, which if they came to play and could have pulled that off, they probably could have been right back in the playoff picture. It's a possibility they could have been back in the playoff picture or in a big bowl game scenario, in a bigger bowl game scenario. But right now, look like us being ranked number, what they got us ranked number 16 or something like that, 14, 16, somewhere in there. We'll probably be getting like a Gator Bowl or something like that. You know, it'll be a game close to Christmas. Not close to Christmas, but a game close to, it'll be after Christmas. We'll get a game after Christmas, but it won't be like a New Year's Six type of game. It won't be the bowl games that we wanted, which were playoff bowl games or right below that. We wanted to kind of like be at least in that number 6 spot to be considered for the playoffs. And to get a good bowl game that's going to be on, you know, big time game on national TV, but we'll take what we get. LSU still got time. He's their quarterback is going to be good as time go on. We'll be all right. We'll be all right at the quarterback position because Brian Kelly's a quarterback coach. He's won everywhere he went to. Everywhere he went, he won. And I'm talking about all the way down to the small school level. I think he was at a D2 Saginaw Valley or something like that. Then he went up to Cincinnati, from Cincinnati, Notre Dame, from Notre Dame. He's here now at LSU. He's won everywhere he's went to, just like Jim Harbaugh. Speaking of which, they're trying to see if Jim Harbaugh wants to come out of college from Michigan and go and pick up and take over his old team, the Indianapolis Colts. That would be interesting. That is where he got the name Captain Comeback, Harbaugh. Captain Comeback. That is where he got that name from, the Indianapolis Colts. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. Me, myself, I think I would rather just coach pro, even though it's easy to get fired. It's easy to get fired in the pros, but I would rather coach pro rather than being out on the road recruiting guys, talking to parents. Then when you get the kids to the college, you got to make sure they got the grades right. Make sure they don't get the girlfriend pregnant. Make sure that if you're dealing with females, make sure they don't get pregnant by the boyfriend. And you got to keep the kids on track, because the main thing is it's not football or basketball, whatever sport the college athlete is playing. It's about them being groomed to take part in corporate America. That's what school is for. Football and any other sport, be it men's or women's sport, is just a vehicle. It's just a vehicle for to pay for your college education, so you can go ahead on and take part in corporate America once you graduate. And that's the biggest thing about college sports and being a college coach. You know, you got to make sure that these kids, when the parents say, "Hey, we're gonna go ahead and turn them over to you, coach," and we, you know, they're expecting their kid to pass school, come out with a degree, and be able to go and get a job in corporate America, not so much play football or basketball, softball, whatever. It don't work like that. Because to be honest, some of these sports don't pay, especially, unfortunately, for the females. If you're not playing basketball, you're probably not going to get paid. Softball don't pay much. Swimming don't pay much. If you're playing tennis or golf, you have a chance if you're really good, and can get out there on that pro circuit, you know. So for females, I figure if you're a golfer, if you're a for women, those are the sports that they can really get paid in. And of course for men, you know, if they're playing, of course, the big three, football, basketball, baseball, you know, they can kind of write their own check if they're really good. But college is all about these coaches grooming these kids to be ready to get off into corporate America. And that's just a fact. But so what I'm saying is that Jim Harbaugh leaving Michigan, going to the Colts, if I were in his position, I would go ahead and leave while I'm on a winning streak at Michigan. You know, you're on a winning streak at Michigan, and I would just go. You beat Ohio State this year. That's done. Program is in. You can lead the program to somebody else in good standings. The program is in good standings to give to the next person to move forward. So, all I'm saying is, well, let me segue to baseball. I got some news that Aaron Judge with the Yankees agrees to a 9-year deal. I keep missing that money. Aaron Judge agrees to a 9-year, $360 million deal with the Yankees. Aaron Judge agrees to a 9-year, $300 million deal with the Yankees. Once that comes back up on the monitor again, I'll verify what I just said. But thank God Aaron Judge is not coming to the National League West to compete against the San Diego Padres by signing with the San Francisco Giants like they put out yesterday. But going back to NCAA sports, I was saying that Jim Harbaugh leaving the program in good standings, leaving there after he just beat Ohio State. He's going to be in the playoffs, possibly get a national championship. I would consider going to the Indianapolis Colts and turning that organization around. He is a quarterback. He is a quarterback by trade, because that's how he got the name Captain Comeback in Indianapolis. I remember that back in the day in the 90s, Jim Harbaugh, Captain Comeback with the Colts. And if he can go back there and instill some discipline, hard work, and everything like that, I think there would be a great thing for the Colts. I think Jeff Saturday is doing a hell of a job as the head coach currently. Maybe he can stick around and be an offensive line coach or whatever to keep that offensive line right and help Jim Harbaugh. He handled the line. Harbaugh handled the quarterback and the play calling. And, hey, I think they could have a good organization. I don't know how well Harbaugh gets along with Saturday or Saturday gets along with Harbaugh. I don't know how that would work. Some people say Harbaugh is a hard guy to get along with. You know, he wants it his way. He's a hard guy to get along with. Some people say he's kind of like, you know, he kind of like, he got his own way out, put it like that. And he's one of them guys, from what I understand, you may not understand his way, but he really don't give a damn. It's his way. So, you know, sometimes that works. You know, that works. He's another guy that's won at every level. He's been here in San Diego, won at USD, small school, USD, FCS school. He won there. He won, where else did he win? At Stanford. He won at Stanford. Okay? He went to the Super Bowl with the 49ers. Okay? He's getting ready to play. He was in the playoffs last year. Got beat bad by Georgia, if I'm correct. They couldn't hold a candle to Georgia. But they looking good this year. Maybe this year they'll beat Georgia because he's in the playoffs and they're undefeated. He hasn't lost a game this year. So Harbaugh has won at every level. I say Colts, go after him hard. Secure the deal. Write the check. Get him in there. So after all this playoff stuff is over with, he can go ahead on and get down there to Indianapolis and start putting his staff together and getting ready for the draft. Start cutting all these guys that are dead weight on the roster to make room for some key free agent signings. Because Harbaugh can turn that team around. He's done it. He did it in San Francisco. He can turn the team around. Matter of fact, he played against his own brother in the Super Bowl. Imagine that, two brothers playing against each other in the Super Bowl. That's a dream story. That's a movie. That's a movie, people. So Harbaugh, I think, should consider leaving college, get off the recruiting trail and all this good stuff, and just go ahead and go pro. Because right now you're already behind in recruiting because right now you got to get ready for the playoff. So you're going to be behind in the recruiting landscape. So you're already behind there. I would just say, hey, turn it over to somebody else. Turn it over to somebody else. And I would just let somebody else take them on into the playoffs. Go and get their pro bag and get their pro money and get their pro situation going. I would just go ahead and turn it over to my coordinators. Take them on in, guys. Get that national championship for me. I'm going to go ahead and get down to Indianapolis and take care of my business. So like how Deion Sanders did with the Black College National Championship with the Celebration Bowl. He said, hey, I got to turn this over to my coordinators. I got to go and take this job in Colorado, and I got to start recruiting. I got to start recruiting for this bigger at the bigger level. I'm Pac-12 now. I'm not SWAC. I'm Pac-12. Utah, USC. I got to go to work. I got to go to work. I can't do the Celebration Bowl. I can't because it's going to put me about 2 weeks behind in recruiting, and these people need me to go to work like now. Yeah, so. Interesting times. Interesting times out here in this college sports world. But we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back. When I come back, we're going to get off into some free agency stuff for all my guys that are going to be qualifying to go to. Excuse me. We're going to get off into some street free agent stuff so I can help all my guys who's looking to get off into the United States Football League and the Extreme Football League, the XFL. Headed up this time by The Rock and his ex-wife, Danny Garcia, with the funding from Redbird Capital. And that should be a successful program to rival the XFL, to actually rival the XFL. You know, pretty much anytime you put The Rock's name on something, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, anytime you put The Rock's name on something, it's usually going to be something successful. So, yeah, I'm going to go off into a quick station break, and we'll be back. Stand by. Thank you. To the Stoke of the Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stoke of the Beer Radio Show. Stoke of the Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBESC, that's WBEST, Chula Vista, California. Stoke of the Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about the sport he or she loves the most. Calling in to the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, the guest call-in line is 515-602-9687. Once again, the guest call-in line is 515-602-9687. And currently right now, the call lines are open if you'd like to call in. Just call in, raise your hand in queue. I'll come to you, state your first and your last name and the state that you live in, and we'll go to you and let you talk about either the topics that we have today or whatever else you want to talk about that's coming across the monitor as news. The topic that we have today is Lakers versus the Cavaliers. The host will debate professional armchair quarterbacks in front of a live global listening audience regarding the sport they love. The topics covered will be but not limited to LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, Donovan Mitchell. The host will cover scores and breaking news from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, and NCAA sports. In news today, on the monitor, Aaron Judge reaches a 9-year, $360 million deal to stay with the Yankees. Aaron Judge reaches a 9-year, $360 million deal to stay with the Yankees. Is re-signing Judge the best move for the Yankees? I think that's a great move for the Yankees. The guy broke, I think it was the regular season home run. He got the regular season home run record for the Yankees. He did that. That was big news all the way up until the playoffs. So I think that's a good thing that they went on to re-sign him back. Hopefully they can keep him and Giancarlo Stanton on the same team. I hadn't really been hearing a whole lot of noise on Stanton as far as, like, knocking the ball out the park a lot. Maybe he's still solid defensively and other things, but maybe they can keep those guys together. They could still get into the playoffs. Hopefully Stanton has a explosive year, and hopefully Judge has an explosive year. But what I am happy about is that, as it was reported yesterday on some of the major social media platforms, that Judge has signed a deal with the San Francisco Giants. And I'm like, whoa, we got to contend with him now? Padres got to contend with this guy now? So I was happy that that was false news. But speaking of the Padres, we let Josh Bell go. I think we let Josh Bell go to the Cleveland Guardians, and I don't think that was a good move. I was expecting him to do a little bit more in the playoffs as a power hitter. I was expecting him to do a little bit more in the playoffs, but he's gone now. They let him go to the Cleveland Guardians. I don't know what we got back for him. I know these general managers, you know, they're the ones that's managing the budget. You know, they work for the owner. The GM works for the owner, and the GM has to keep his job. You know, how do you keep your job as a GM? Don't spend money. Try to spend as least of the owner's money as possible. Spend only what you got to spend. Spend only what you got to spend. So a lot of people don't understand the owner ain't just sitting up running the basketball, football, baseball team. The owner usually have a whole other business in corporate America. I'm talking about, like, real stuff. Real big real estate, stuff like that, oil companies, shipping. And I'm not talking about just shipping and receiving. I'm talking about shipping, meaning like owning ships, sending stuff overseas and bringing it back, meaning import and export. These big owners like that, they got other stuff that they're doing. major stock portfolios, all kind of stuff. These guys are corporate American moguls. Corporate American moguls in railroad, diesel trucking, all kind of stuff. These men make America move is what I'm trying to say. Owners, franchise owners are guys that in their normal day-to-day role, they're making America move, people. So when they're making that kind of money and they got these sports franchises, as you know, when you're rich, you want to have a hobby. These sports franchises are hobbies. They make money for the owner, but they're hobbies. Yeah, it's a business, but it's a hobby. That's why owners can be like, I'm going to just sell the team. I'm going to sell my part of the team off, and I don't want to be in sports no more. These are hobbies. For the fans, it's an emotional thing. That's why they call you fanatics. I don't like to consider myself a fan because I'm not a fanatic of anything. I love boxing, but I ain't a fanatic of it. I love it, but I ain't no fanatic. You're a fanatic, you'll go crazy over anything. But anyway, for the fans, as they call y'all, y'all get emotional about this stuff when it comes down to the team. Just like when they force somebody like a Donald Sterling or this guy that owned the Suns and the Washington Commanders, Dan Snyder, when they force these guys to sell these teams, they're not going home broke. They're just gonna take their share of the team. They ain't gonna have nothing else to do with the team. They're gonna sell out, cash out, take their money, and go live their life doing what they do every day, running their businesses. They just ain't gonna be in the NBA or the NFL or the NHL, whatever you want to call it, Major League Baseball. They're not gonna be a part of the sporting world. They're gonna just be back doing what they do on a daily basis, which is being a citizen in America at their job at corporate America. And usually they're owning a business in corporate America, a big business. So I don't know what all these different guys do, but like even with Steve Ballmer that bought the Clippers from Donald Sterling, Ballmer is a tech guy. He owns some kind of tech company. That's how he was able to get money together to build the Clippers their own stadium downtown. They don't want to share any more in the stadium with the LA Lakers because they're good enough now to just have their own independent stadium, and that's what he wants. He wants his own independent, high-tech stadium for basketball, sort of like how the SoFi Stadium is, SoFi Stadium in L.A. for the L.A. Rams and the Chargers. He wants a basketball facility like that, a technology-based basketball facility for the L.A. Clippers, and Steve Ballmer has the money to do it. Why? Because Steve Ballmer is a multimillionaire from tech, and he's just having a ball being a part of the sports world. He finally was able to get his little hobby. That's what I say, it's a hobby for him. He finally able to get his little sports franchise. I love basketball, and I just always wanted to be an owner. I always wanted to have my own ball club so I can go take my friends to my arena and show them a nice time, and I got this great team, and my players, they love me. I love them, and everybody happy. This stuff is a hobby for these owners, people. And that's why Stephen Jones and Jerry Jones this morning, what they say about OBJ. We're not signing OBJ. OBJ is not going to wear the star. He's not going to get to wear the logo. I know everybody was like, he's going to be ready for the playoffs. He's going to help them make a playoff push. Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones saw something. Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, they saw something in his workout. Something in his workout or something in the in the legalese and the contract language that he was trying, that him and his agent or sports lawyer was trying to get Jerry Jones to do. And Stephen Jones said no. They were trying to get Jerry to cut the check, and Jerry probably was like, we can do that. And Stephen Jones was probably like, Dad, you know how you tell a little kid, get your hand out the cookie jar. We're not doing that. Stephen Jones, I believe you had to tell Jerry Jones, something don't look right, and I'm not signing off on it. I'm the general manager. I know you own this team, but I'm the general manager, and I'm not letting you make a bad decision with your money. You're not going to put us in the poorhouse trying to sign OBJ to some weird multi-million dollar deal and he's damaged goods. His knee is gone. The knee is not what it used to be. He's not going to come in here and demand what he wants at the table. It's either that or they saw his workout. See, everybody get on TV and everybody, you know, get all hyped up about, oh, OBJ, he put out his workout video. See how good he's working out? He got the band on and he doing all this stuff. He's showing that knee is good. That's a highlight. I want to see what happens when you get up in the morning time. It's one of them cold days. It's cold outside. Them bones are stiff. When you got an injury, sometimes those joints and ligaments tighten up, and then you can't get in there and get after it every day like you normally do. You can't get that day. You can't get in there and get after it because that injury is stiffened up. It's tight. See what Kawhi Leonard said. I think he had a similar injury. He just got back. Kawhi Leonard just got back on the court the other night, dropped about 16 points, led the team to victory. The point that I'm making is that Kawhi, he'll say, I'm sitting down. My knee is still stiff. It don't feel the way I want it to feel right now. I'm going to sit down for about a week or two, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, just set out for about 3 weeks. It's a long season in the NBA. Plenty of games to play. All I got to do is be great in moments. He's going to come back when that knee feels right. Now that knee is loose, lubricated, stretched out. He was able to play a whole game the other night. Yeah, well, I don't know about a whole game, but he was able to put up some quality minutes. 16 points, quality minutes. And if he keeps pacing himself, he'll be all right. But something about that workout or workout that didn't happen with OBJ and the Dallas Cowboys, and this is just me speculating. I ain't an OBJ hater, so if OBJ hears this episode, I apologize. I'm not trying to be an OBJ hater. I'm just talking about the business of sports and how negotiations and everything go because I am somewhat familiar with it. I have been trained on it. So I'm just telling you how things kind of go, people. I did go to a school for sports business certification up under Lee Steinberg, the Steinberg Sports and Entertainment. And Lee Steinberg and Chris Cabot, they do a great job over there. And the rest of the instructors, like Selwyn G. Roberts over there as well, they all do a great job in teaching the sports course. And so they teach you about how to do negotiations and everything. So everything sports related, if you're an agent, I know about it. Yes, I do. The only thing I haven't done is taken the test for to be an NFLPA certified agent because I'm not interested in doing so. But other than that, yes, I am well versed in what goes on at the negotiation table. So they could have offered him. I wasn't in the room. I wasn't in the war room. I'd like to know why they're not signing OBJ. It's got to either be OBJ. In my opinion, it's got to be either OBJ came to the table, wanted some guarantees, and they said, no, we're going to give you an incentive contract. He probably said, no, I want him and his agent probably was like, no, I want what's guaranteed? What's the guarantee? They probably said, there are no guarantees with your injury. We're going to give you a signing bonus, and the rest of this is going to be incentive-based until you can prove to us full season that you're capable of being OBJ. And he probably was like, nah, we'll think about it. Because you got to remember, he's already visited the New York Giants, his old team. He's already visited the across the monitor, speaking of OBJ, Cowboys concerned Odell Beckham Jr. may not be game ready until 2023. Team believes best case scenario for a return may be mid-January. Cowboys concerned Odell Beckham Jr. may not be game ready until 2023. The team believes the best case scenario for a return may be mid-January. So they're starting to leak things out about this OBJ situation. So when you start saying game ready, okay, now let's throw the incentive contract out of the way and the guaranteed money on your signing bonus, but not a lot of guarantees in the contract. Let's throw that out. So that sounds like what's going on right now is his conditioning and that injury. Conditioning and that injury for OBJ. So Dallas is like, we're going to hold off on signing any signing you right now, because what's the point? You won't be ready to do anything for us until, what, January? That's in the playoffs. I mean, we got to work you all the way back in shape, get you coached up on the plays. What's the rush in signing you? Go and visit some more teams, see what else is out there for you. See what else is out there. See what else you can get, you know. Maybe another team out there that you can get with, get a playoff push. Maybe go to the Baltimore Ravens or something like that. I don't know. It just depends. But I don't know if he want to go to the Baltimore Ravens because they don't throw the ball like that. They run the ball. That's why Hollywood Brown left. They throw the ball, but they don't throw the ball as their first option. They have something called Lamar Jackson, and then the other gentleman, Tyler Huntley. They got both of them as their options to basically go to. In other news in the NFL, Lamar Jackson could miss several weeks with sprained PCL in his knee. Lamar Jackson could miss several weeks with sprained PCL in his knee. Ravens tied with the Bengals atop the AFC North. Next four games are against losing teams. So they can put Tyler Huntley in there and take him in there because the next four games for the Ravens are against losing teams. Lamar Jackson can miss several weeks with a sprained PCL in his knee. I tell you, all these football players with these knee injuries, and it's because of overuse more than likely. When you specialize in sports as a kid, you specialize in sports. You don't play basketball, soccer. You don't change with the season. You just keep working out, doing a football workout. You know, it's going to mess your body up down the line. That's why the doctors are saying stay away from specialization, because you see it a lot in baseball. A lot of these Tommy John surgeries. That's because the kid has done but played travel ball all his life playing baseball. Messed the elbow up. That's why you have the Tommy John surgery with a lot of pitchers, because it's all they've ever done is throw the pitch, travel ball. And baseball, for some reason, you play baseball 12 months out of the year. You got summer ball, travel ball, winter ball. You just got ball. All you're doing is playing. And then when you get to the pros, or try to get to the pros, you can't do anything because you got to have Tommy John surgery. As a young man, and it starts to halt your career. Same thing in football. All these PCL in the knee, MCL, ACL, all this stuff. Achilles tear. All this stuff because what? All you've done is train for football. Same thing in basketball. Basketball is a sport you can also play year-round because you can play that indoors. That's usually indoors. Play in the rec center all year round. Ball. Winter league. Just keep playing. All these injuries. I'm just saying that because there it is now, Lamar Jackson, PCL tearing his knee. Why? Probably all his life playing football or a sport that uses those same muscles like for us. And you know, like a lot of African-American kids, you know, just me growing up being a young African-American man at one time, a young teenager at one time, what did we do? Basketball, football. Something that you got to be cutting, making cuts, changing direction all the time. Basketball, football. What's that called? What that adds up to? A knee injury. There you go. Adds up to a knee injury. If you heard it one time, 9 times out of 10, you're going to probably hurt it again. So back to Odell Beckham, I'm thinking that Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones just said, you know what, just let's hold off. Go on out there, man, and see what else you can get, because there's no sense in urgency right now assigning you. We're glad that we was able to talk with you. We're glad that we can game plan for you for next year. But the way we're looking at it, based on our trainers and everything, you won't be ready to do anything until January anyway. We'll already be in the playoffs. It's just like, what's the rush? And I get it. I mean, what is the rush? Let him see what else he can get out there. He's on tour. Let him see what he can get. You know, he's talking to the Bills. He's talking to the Giants. Talking to the Cowboys. I mean, hey, man, see what else is out there. Just weigh out all your options. We care about you. We want you to be okay. Because when you do come here, when we do finally set out to do business, our contract is going to be set up to a way to where it protects us. That's probably what's going on in there. Right now, it's about his conditioning. It's about the injury. It's about the conditioning, about the injury. He probably worked out for the team, and they said, man, you don't look like you're in that great of shape. Because the workout I just went to on November 13th, pro workout here in San Diego, I'm going to be honest with you. If he went in there and did that workout and wasn't in shape, probably, you know, a little winded. And when you get a little winded, you start trying to save a little bit. You'll start going, you won't go 100% or 110%. You're going to go 80, 75. You got to go 75% because I got to get through this whole workout. I got to show them that I can at least get through the workout. But see, when you got an injury like that, and you haven't been able to do all that stuff because that injury caused, you know, you have to do a lot of rehab. And what a lot of people don't realize, rehab is work. Rehab is ain't nothing but working out, going to the gym. Trust me, I know, because I do physical therapy. Physical therapy is rehabilitation, and all it is going to the gym to work out. But you're working out the muscles to support the injured area. Okay? If he's been doing rehab all this time, he probably haven't been in a position to really train the right way to get ready for an in-facility workout, in-facility visit. He hasn't been able to train properly for that, so that knee is probably still a little tender. And when he goes through the workout, that coupled with probably just not in the best condition cardiovascular-wise, because he probably haven't been able to do that type of stuff till here recently when he started setting up meetings. And but, you know, it just you don't know what the team is going to really focus on, because you're not in their organization. You can be prepared to do an in-facility workout, be prepared to do everything, but you don't really know what they're going to focus on at the end of the day, unless you ask them and they tell you, make sure you can do this, this, and this. But me, myself, when I'm signing somebody to a multi-million dollar contract, I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing. Just be prepared for whatever the hell I tell you to do. Excuse my language. Whatever the heck I tell you to do. Across the monitor, before we get up into some free agent stuff, they're saying that the Dolphins -3 at the Chargers. They got Dolphins -3 at the Chargers Sunday, 8:20 Eastern. Mike McDaniel, I'm very confident and don't anticipate any sort of setbacks. You know, that was coming across the monitor. Well, I'll let you know more about that when it comes back across the monitor, so I can make sure I'm giving you the total information. Then it's saying, you know, across the monitor, why are the Cowboys are right to have reservations about signing Odell Beckham? Why are the Cowboys are right about having reservations to sign Odell Beckham? Jaguars at the Titans, -3.5. Titans fire general manager John Robinson. Right move for the Titans, 75 to part ways with Robinson. Titans fire general manager John Robinson. Right move for the Titans, 75 to part ways with Robinson as general manager. They got Jaguars at the Titans, Titans -3.5. Jaguars at Titans, and the Titans are projected to win that -3.5 Sunday 1 Eastern. Them firing the general manager, I don't know. The thing about being the general manager, it's all about how they're spending the owner's money. You're spending the owner's money. So it has to get to a point to where it makes sense to keep the general manager. If the general manager is either overspending or underspending or spending money on the right players and getting the right result. I mean, they're 7-5 right now. And she probably was looking at them being at least a ten win team at this point. So the owner says she wants to part ways. She goes, you know, try to go in another direction. I forgot the note, Tony. Yesterday they were saying something about that she felt like she wasn't included in a lot of the day to day decision making, and she just wanted to go in another direction. I guess bring somebody in that was going to keep her informed on how you spending my money and why are we getting this player. Rather than I look up, we making trades, making deals, bringing people in, I'm losing money, and we're only 7-5. We're only 2 games above 500. So maybe it was the right move. I think it's kind of like weird to do it right now. It's almost time to get into the playoffs. You're fighting for a wild card, and now you get bringing in another general manager. I don't know. But at the end of the day, at once the roster is set, once the roster is set and the trade deadline is over with, the general manager really probably ain't got much to do at this point because the roster is what it is and the trade deadline is done. The only thing you could do is bring in free agents. But why would you want to bring in free agents this late in the season and you don't even know what type of condition they're in? The same thing going back to OBJ. I mean, nobody knows what kind of conditioning OBJ is in right now. Nobody knows until you work him out. So is it right to fire a GM right now? Maybe so. I mean, because like I said, you know, what more can a GM do right now? You need a good general manager when it's time to sign players and bring players into camp. Bring them into camp. Bring them in before the trade deadline. That's what you need the general manager for. And if you're already 75, I'm probably not going to trust my general manager to sign a key free agent or try to fill a spot with a key free agent. And we're just 75 under your management of the budget. We're not winning as it is. So I think that she can get rid of them. She can get rid of them and it not be a big issue. Not for her anyway. I mean, at best, she's going to save some money because he's not blowing her money anymore. The thing about being a general manager in high-level professional sports, you're in charge of a budget to sign these players in here. And if you can't manage the budget that we have set aside for this hobby, and like I said, this stuff is a hobby for these people. The woman that owns the Tennessee Titans, if I'm correct, is a woman that owns the team. And so this woman that owns the team is probably in a high-level, another business in corporate America. She could be in oil. She could be in import-export. She could be in real estate. All kinds of different things that she could be a part of in corporate America, which is how she makes her living and how she pays her employees. This Tennessee Titans is something that she could say, I'm just going to sell the team. I don't even want this team. I'm going to just sell all my stock and move on. Or I'm going to be a silent partner and move on. She don't have to have a football team. None of these owners do. That's not what they do every day. They're not just sitting up and saying, my sole purpose in life is to run a football team. That's a hobby. And it also could be a tax write-off. Because if the team is losing and tanking, you just write it off on your tax. Hey, I lost all kind of money running this dang sports franchise, so it's going to be a tax break for me because I've lost a lot of money. A sports franchise can save you on your tax. I don't think she made a bad move by getting rid of this general manager in Tennessee for the Titans. I don't think she made a bad decision because, you know, right now the roster is already set. Get somebody else in there and get him set up for next year. Let him go over the whole roster. I will start evaluating players. Team that's 7-5, yeah, you're making a playoff push, but I would really be starting to evaluate players in practice. I would really be evaluating players in practice and be like, we're cutting this one, this one, and this one. If you're already a losing team, 3-win, 4-win team, you know you're not going to make the playoffs. I would already start putting those players out on the field, getting ready to start shaving my team down, getting ready to cut bait. Anyway, we're going to go off into a quick station break and come back in and hit the 9:40 mark, start trying to talk about some XFL, USFL, street free agent stuff. And so you guys that's out there listening that are street free agents looking for an opportunity, try to get you set up. Get you set up and get you help to try to get on a roster. Spring is fast approaching. Roster spots are starting to get kind of slim to none, but I want to try to do my best to help get some of y'all in before the door closes on that opportunity so we can get you a pro football opportunity to make a push for XFL, USFL roster spot. All right. With that being said, we're going to take a quick station break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Today, our topic was Lakers versus Cavs, where the Los Angeles Lakers got defeated last night by the Cleveland Cavaliers. We talked about that, talked about various NFL topics, some NCAA stuff. I didn't see much NHL stuff coming up on the monitor yet. I'll try to get to some scores and everything as I'm looking at the monitor. We'll get to some of that in a minute. But right now, closing out the show, I want to talk at this here mark. Want to talk about some football street free agent things coming up. It is at the 9:40 mark of the show, and I'll time code that at 9:40 for all you street free agents to be able to go in and fast forward this episode to that particular point. We got the United States Football League 2.0 coming up. They're going to be in their second season. I currently have a player. Congratulations to my man, Jeff Ajekum, former West Point Army cadet and also IFL Las Vegas Nighthawks. And he got an opportunity to go to Memphis to play. He was with the Tampa Bay Bandits, but they moved that team to Memphis, so they're now taking on the moniker of the Memphis Showboats, the old Memphis Showboats of the USFL with Reggie White. So Memphis is going to have a team. They had a real nice promo saying that they're going to be doing a Memphis hub and have a Memphis team. So one of my clients will be on that roster, and what I'm trying to do now is send them some more players for consideration to get on that roster as well. I was also blessed the other day to have make acquaintance with someone on a social media platform, the Birmingham Stallions. Birmingham Stallions are the champions of the United States Football League. Pretty solid team. The championship game for the USFL was actually really good and entertaining. I actually took the time to sit down and watch that contest, the USFL championship, New Jersey Generals and the Birmingham Stallions, if I'm correct. And it was very talented and competitive football on both sides of the ball, and the quarterback play was exceptional. And I think somebody even had to bring in a backup QB because the starter got hurt, and it still was quality, exceptional quarterback play. When you have these leagues like the USFL and the XFL, the biggest thing what you want to have is exceptional quarterback play. The quarterback has to be able to get the ball down the field. That's the first thing you want to consider besides offensive line play. It starts quarterback, offensive line. That's just my opinion. If you got a quarterback and an offensive line to protect that quarterback, that's how you have a good quality product to put on national television, because the ratings have to go up to make sense for all this stuff to be done. If you are a street free agent, current street free agent, there was a NFL camp hopeful for last year's NFL draft 2022. Or if you are a player that has just finished up their last game, or even if you're in the playoff, the Division II, Division III, NAIA playoff picture right now, but you are a NFL camp hopeful for NFL draft 2023, I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you. All you have to do is DM me at capital F Ferran Sports on Twitter. You can also find me on Facebook on my page, Ferran Sports Management Agency. That's capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D, Sports Management Agency on Facebook. Or you can just type in my name, R-A-M-I-R-O, Romero, my last name, Ferran, capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D. That's Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog. Type Romero Ferran in on Facebook, and I'll also come up. I use all social media platforms for business. Very rarely anything personal or my personal religious or political views. So when you go to my page, you'll see you'll just see the regular stuff there about business and opportunities that I have for you, or the opportunities that I have got for other players. So right now, if you are a street free agent, there was an NFL camp hopeful for NFL Draft 2022. And if you are a player from this season, a college player from this season that has finished up his last game or still in the playoffs, it doesn't matter, because eventually you will finish your last game, whether that's this week or next week. Eventually your season is going to end, and you are a NFL camp hopeful for NFL Draft 2023. Contact me, and what I'm going to do is get your film out to an XFL opportunity and a USFL opportunity. The way this works is like so. I will request your film, and I will shop it out to teams in the Champions Indoor Football League and or teams in the Indoor Football League. That style of football, indoor football style, will lead you to an XFL opportunity, because the XFL partnered with the IFL, Indoor Football League, as their minor league system. So if you can get to the IFL right off the bat, great. But I'm also going to send your stuff to the CIFL, because it's the league right below that. And I'll say below it because the marketing budget for the IFL teams are bigger. The expectations marketing-wise are bigger versus the expectations of Champions Indoor Football League. However, there are some well-ran franchises in Champions Indoor Football League. But they're the same style of football. So what I'm going to do is send your film to both situations, and whoever bites first, if the CIF bites first, you'll play there, finish up, and move you into a tail end of a contract for the season for the IFL, maybe get three games in before their season ends up, and then you'll still be able to get a XFL look by playing on the IFL team. So that's the goal for to get to the XFL. Either sign a CIF contract leading to an IFL contract leading to an XFL look, or sign an IFL contract and still leading to an NFL look off first chance. On the other side of it, I have Hubcamp available for to get a USFL opportunity. Hubcamp is ran by Don Yee, super agent Don Yee, which is Tom Brady's agent. Hubcamp runs an NFL-sanctioned event to where they teach you how to do an in-facility workout. If you get a facility visit and they want to work you out, you'll be prepared to do it by attending Hubcamp. You have to be darn good to get into Hubcamp. You can't be okay. You can't be all right. They got to see something that jumps off at them that considers you darn good for that particular event and for the particular roster that they have lined up for that event. So now, you have to be good. You have to get vetted. And what I do is use my relationship with the people at Hubcamp to get you that opportunity. But you have to be vetted, and you got to jump off your film. Got to, you know, your film, your resume, something got to jump off to the people that are doing the selection process. You can't just pay money and go. It don't work like that. Don Yee does not need your money. That's the agent for Tom Brady. He doesn't need your money, okay? So it's not a money thing. However, you do have to pay to go. It's $750 if you get selected for a basic package, $1,350 if you get selected for an upgraded package, so you can get your film, your interview, your scouting report, all that. So I suggest that you put together $1,350 and just go ahead and do the upgraded package. And then you got to travel there, of course. So you need a flight there and back. You need your hotel room while you're there. You need to feed yourself while you're there. So it's a little bit of an undertaking. Let's say you need about $3,000. You know, get with your parents, get with your support system, your clergy, your teachers, your coaches, your girlfriend, uncles, aunts, mom, dad, sister, brother, y'all get together about $3,000 to cover the $1,350 to do it, or at least the $750 to do it, and get out there, have your hotel room, your meals and everything taken care of out of your budget. You got to pay for it. It's a little bit of an undertaking, but it's worth it because the USFL is using Hub's data and their scouting reports to fill certain positions that they may need per team. I went to the last event on November 13th, and the New Orleans Breakers was out there from the USFL, and another USFL representative was out there as well. They also had the EFL out there, European Football League. Vienna Vikings were there. And it was rumored to have the San Francisco 49ers out there somewhere as well. However, I didn't run into that particular scout, but I have ran into a scout from the Oakland Raiders, a representative for the Oakland Raiders before. So with that being said, that's a USFL opportunity through Hub. I also have a relationship with a actual team representative for the USFL to where I send players film to, and he evaluates it and tell me what steps I can take to get the connections in the front office to take a look at my players. But I'll go more in detail with that once he tells me that you're of the caliber for him to try to present to the team. So those are two opportunities for the USFL. As far as getting you on a roster for to send film in to that particular scout, recruiter, coach, and also to send things in to the Hub camp staff, I'm using the National Arena League connections that I have for to get your film. So I'll start you off with the National Arena League and or fan-controlled football. Everyone bites first. I have multiple contacts in the National Arena League as well as front office people, front office staff for fan-controlled football. They asked me for my roster the other day, and I sent players' film in. However, just to hear people making excuses about why they probably weren't going to be able to make the January 8th event for fan-controlled football, but they have about five different workouts, but they got my players' film. If you want to have your film submitted in to the front office staff for fan-controlled football, through my relationship with them, I'll send it in because they've already contacted me last week asking me for my client list so they can either offer a camp contract or be expecting you to be at one of their workouts, however it works. I'll make sure that they have your stuff before you attend the workout. So that's how it's going to work for the USFL opportunity. So I just broke down to you how I'm going to send your stuff to how I'm going to get your opportunity in the XFL and the USFL. And hopefully, if you get called up sometime during the summertime, you'll get some USFL or an XFL film and possibly to swap some film out to some scouts and stuff for NFL camp for a three-day workout and leading you on into a NFL camp roster spot. And it can happen because the season for the XFL and USFL ends if you get called up to play and maybe play well on TV, or a coach sends your stuff out to an NFL team because they think you're that good to move up. You could possibly still have enough time to get into a three-day mini camp workout because the USFL and XFL season should have been ended by that time, to where if you're playing in the USFL, XFL at that time, you can get a summer camp, NFL camp roster spot. And again, this is for young men that were last year's NFL camp hopefuls, still looking to get a spot on a professional roster to at least move up to the USFL, XFL level. And for guys that's graduating that finished their last game this season or currently in the playoffs, playing their last couple games, depending on if you advance in the division two, division three tournaments and NAIA tournament. If you're in that situation as well, you're still considered a NFL Camp 2023 hopeful. So I can help you. All you have to do is call 619-655-1581 or dferran@gmail.com. That's R-D, Romeo Dog, my last name, capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D. That's rdferran@gmail.com. And you can also hit me on Facebook, as I said earlier, at Ramiro Ferran on Facebook, R-A-M-I-R-O, capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D, Ramiro Ferran on Facebook, or Ferran Sports Management Agency on my business page on Facebook, or you can just easily DM me on Twitter, capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D, at Ferran, capital S-P-O-R-T-S, at Ferran Sports on Twitter. DM me and let me know that you have watched all the my recent video posts on my page. It gives you all the video posts, tells you what you need to do. All the video posts tells you what you need to do. And all you have to do is follow the instructions. Text me at 619-655-1581. 619-655-1581. Text me and say, I'm ready for verification. When I mean verification, you're telling me that you're ready for me to double check that you've completed the steps that you need to take to do business with me. Once I verify that you've completed all the steps that I tell you in the video, that's why you have to go to my media post, my video post, go anything that has a video on it, listen to it, follow the instructions, shake my hand, and let's do business. And from that point, I'm going to be asking you for your film and your resume. And I'll tell you how to put all this together, and we'll go from there. So this is pretty much the end of the show, everybody. I'm going to just say, everybody, be light, not darkness. Be love, not hate. Peace around the world. Pray that this war in Ukraine ends before Christmas comes. Pray for the Ukraine people. Pray for the Russian soldiers that don't even want to be taking part in this war, because it's almost like you're killing your own people, because they're all the same people, Russia and Ukraine. They're the same people. And so pray for peace over there for both sides. Pray for Brittany Griner that she gets returned home before Christmas. Pray for Brittany Griner's family. With that being said, stay safe from monkeypox. Get your flu shot. Get your COVID booster and all that good stuff. We're going to go ahead and set black and fade all, and we'll see you tomorrow, God willing. Have a great morning.